Anton, welcome. Welcome to everyone that's viewing. This is our Pulling on Heaven podcast. God is so God. You know, a long time ago, I was ministering. This is many, many years ago. And I would always say and hear people say, God is so great. God is so good. And one day, I just said, God is so God. He's just encompasses, embodies the idea of good and so far beyond what we would imagine good to be. So I just said, God is so God. Isn't God God?
Yes.
And that kind of began to permeate my mind with thinking about God so far beyond the borders of anything that I had been taught or even how I thought. And it was kind of a door God opened in my mind. It wasn't kind of. It was a huge double door, like a big garage door, big barn door God opened my head and just started seeing God in such incredible, powerful, amazing ways. And I know you and I, we get to spend a lot of time together, you know, in ministry, and we talk about all kinds of things. And God is always the foundation. He's always the center. And it's just so great and so good. And I know we were talking about how, you know, seeing God in everything. And I know you said something on the way here, because we actually drove here together. Thanks for picking me up and being my ride today.
My pleasure, Pastor. My pleasure. One of the things that you've said is God is always with us.
Yeah.
And you and I were driving. You were with me driving. But even if you weren't, the connection of the Spirit, I'm with you and you're with me because of our connection and our faith in who God is. Whether you were there physically present, maybe you were a few miles away from me. And same thing with God. He's always with us. And one of the things I love when you said that, how can he be any closer if he's in you, if he's in us? And the revelation that you bring about rest and about that everything is God. We blame God for everything. So God is always with us and we see God in everything.
We say, we blame God for
everything.
So what do we mean by that?
It means just like we remember David when Saul pursued him, the honor that he had for who Saul was, called by God,
his anointing,
which is what? Which is who God called him to be, who God called Saul to be, no matter of the character flaw or the Saul's actions. He saw God in Saul.
He did.
He saw God. Honoring God's anointing, meaning honoring God. So he saw God in Saul, even though he was pursuing him. And we see proof of that. And I don't, you know, I read it in Samuel, the second book of Samuel, and I thought, this is a truly unique heart. Because when a man came to me, Amalekite came to David and said, I took care of your enemy. Came in proud. Here's his crown. He was leaning on a sword, and he asked me to just, you know, finish him off, and I did because he wasn't gonna make it. So, you know, I feel like a hero because I just took care of your enemy. Mm-hmm. And what did David do? He didn't jump up and say, "Praise God! No. He put my enemies under my feet. I was waiting for this whole time. This is the day that the Lord has made. I rejoice. This is great. This is awesome news. Now I don't have anyone to pursue me. I don't have anyone that wants to kill me. I don't have anyone that's after my life." Mm-hmm. He tore his clothes and he mourned and he punished. And he said, how could you do this to the anointed? How could you do this to someone that God has called? It doesn't matter that he was trying to kill me. It doesn't matter that he hated me. All that doesn't matter. None of that matters. What matters is God has chosen him. And how times in our life we come against something or someone, and instead of recognizing God's face, instead of recognizing God's call on that person, regardless of their actions, we forget to see God. We forget to see. But unique heart of David mourned. And he wept for Saul, the same person that wanted his life.
Yeah,
incredible. And then we see Jesus. He says, "Bless, forgive."
Those that do you good, or those that do you wrong, right?
Exactly. Yeah. So
what is that?
That revelation. Yeah. It's you know, one thing to say it, but another thing to feel it. Yeah. And then he was consistent in his heart, because we see later on when he does become a king of Judah, but there's still 11 tribes of Israel warring against the tribe of Judah. Yeah. And Saul's son becomes a king. And then two men come and they kill him. And these two men come to David and they say, hey, we're heroes. Check this out. This is what we did. We took care of your competition. We got rid of this warring. We're the guys. We're the heroes. And he said, how could you do this? This is not right. Was that a hand of God? Probably it was. But his heart towards God's anointed, his heart towards the Lord. And how should we feel if our enemies fall? How should we feel when God puts down our enemies? Do we rejoice and we jump for joy? Or do we have sympathy even for those that were against us? Yeah. Pray and
heart
mourn,
of God.
Heart of God, pray and mourn for those that need to be lifted up, even though they're against us. Besides what they wanted to do or did to us, where is the heart of love? Where is the heart of God? It's very unique. It's very unique. And we see the passages where he has a revelation. He says, even though I make my bed in hell, you're there with me. Yeah. David had a unique heart. And the word says he was after God's heart. It was incredible.
God, yeah. He was after God's heart.
He separated of what's good for me.
Here's the thing. If we look at the scriptures, we look at the New Testament, the Christ coming, our salvation, our redemption. We were enemies of God, and he loved us. What was God's response? You know, we as a body, we as a people, you know, want to see more of God. The scriptures say, Paul's saying, I pray for you for the spirit of wisdom and understanding all the time. I pray all the time that you would have the spirit of wisdom and understanding, that you may know him, you may know God better, that you may know him more. That's my prayer. And I like to pray the same thing all the time. God, just want to know you better, want to know you more, be revealed. But here's the question, talking about David honoring Saul and his anointing. David was honoring God. It's like when God spoke to Samuel, and the king, the people wanted a king, and that's of course where Saul became the first king to Israel. And they're wanting a king, and God says, "I want to be king to them." But they rejected Samuel's word, and God said to Samuel, "They didn't reject you, Samuel. They rejected me because it was my word." And we love, you know, the church, I mean, we sing that song, Show Me Your Glory, and God, you know, all the songs about God being revealed and you know, fill this place and all that. And, you know, I think it's good sometimes to say, I wonder how God would do that. You know, is he going to come and just fill the place with smoke and, you know, you know, you see these smoke machines in some churches, and I mean, is that what God's going to do without the smoke machine? I mean, or is it going to be lightning? How would God reveal his glory? Mm-hmm. You know, what was it that David saw that made him do and think the way he did and the way he thought, and to be so forgiving and so honoring to this man that threw a javelin trying to pin him against the wall when David is there ministering to him to drive the insanity away from him, and God would honor him when he would sing, and the word says the spirit would leave him. And yet Saul is so tormented that he wants to kill David, and then he becomes jealous because Saul has killed his thousands and David his 10,000s. But you wonder why a man like David would do that, and kind of what was the plan of God? Because God was working something incredible in David, and this is the Old Testament, okay? This is before the redemptive Savior. This is before the days of Jesus Christ, and BC, if you will. And what would we do if we could have that kind of heart? How could God use us? Because Jesus then says, as you said, love your enemies. You know, pray for those that spitefully use you, that persecute you, say all manner of evil against you. Why?
Yeah.
Well, it goes back to show us your glory. God, reveal yourself to us. So how are we going to see God? You know, how is he, is he going to just come and part a sea? You know, is it going to be, you know, fire coming down from heaven? Well, we may or we may not see that today, but God is ever present. We've been talking a lot about that. But how do we see God? How does God reveal himself? And we have to go back to the scriptures that talk about us being the body of Christ.
Yeah.
And members of his body in particular. Mm. In other words, you're a unique member of the body of Christ. Everyone is a member. Everyone that has received Christ as Lord and Savior. It has to be all about God.
Yeah.
Come on, it has to be Jesus. You have to be so filled with the heart after who Christ in us is. And that's a very powerful scripture. How do we see God? And Jesus said, you are now the light of the world. He said, when I was in the world, I was the light of the world. And the scriptures say regarding Jesus that the fullness of the Father dwelt in him in bodily form. And the simple answer is, how do we see God? How is his glory revealed?
Yeah.
It may not be, you know, through a mist coming into the church, or, you know, gold falling from the sky, or fire. It's in his body.
Yeah.
It's in his body. It's through us,
yeah,
that Christ is manifest, Christ is revealed. But Jesus said one time, he said, if you can't love your brother whom you see, how can you love God whom you don't see? And the honor for the anointing of God, and not just people that we may consider anointed, but the image of God.
Mm.
You know, everyone is an image of the living God. How will we ever see God? How will he make himself known to us? Well, he told us very plainly. He said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. He said, if I abide in you, and my word abide in you, and you abide in me, then he said, then you can ask what you will, and it will come to pass. That's because God is able to facilitate his will through his body.
Yeah.
He makes us a force of nature. He makes us a force of his will, of his presence, of his power. We should be able to feel God's presence in his people. Mm. And David had a great honor for the Father.
Yeah.
David loved God with all of his heart.
Mm.
He said, I meditate on your law. In other words, I think about you all the time.
Mm.
And David had a heart to just worship God. And again, if you slay me, I'll serve you. In other words, God was really God to David.
Yeah.
He wasn't just God. He wasn't a God. He wasn't even the only God. He was David's God.
Yeah.
And David worshiped him as my God. So when David would look at someone that was called, regardless of what they were trying to do, regardless of their orientation in regards to David or anyone else, David remembered, this is God's creation. This is God's will. Families could be healed, brought back together, you know, marriages reunited. So many things would happen if we would look for the uniting factor, the common denominator in everyone that makes us friends, real friends, that makes us real family, that makes us the body of Christ. And that's looking for Christ in every individual, whether you can see it exteriorly or not, whether you can look at them and say, they act like Jesus, or they act like a very kind or righteous person. Sometimes God allows us, oftentimes, to interface with people that are the opposing image to what we believe God to be. And what did he say? Well, love them, bless them. Well, does that mean that I'm going to see God in them? Maybe not.
Mm.
But you can see God in you.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can't see Christ in ourselves, maybe we will never see him, because that's where he said he was going to dwell. He said, I in you and you in me. He said these bodies, he said, don't you know your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, which temples we are.
Mm-hmm.
And the word says that Christ revealed in us is the hope of glory. In other words, literally, glory's hope is that God is manifesting, because it's his plan, it's his design. He created us for his purpose and for his pleasure. And the word says that that hope of glory being revealed is in the body of Christ. So if we can love one another in that way, even if you don't see it coming out of your friends or someone that you're praying for, God, that, you know, your boss or your coworker or whoever it is, they're not walking righteously. Now, there's people that just reject the will of God. They reject the word of God, and they may never be who you believe them to be, because they don't believe it. And maybe they just are determined that they never will. But if you don't see Christ in them, but you act according to the heart of God like David did, Christ still appears because he's appearing in you.
Right.
He's being manifest through you. And Anton, it just brings a different kind of mind to you. Be not conformed, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove the good, acceptable, perfect will of God. So even if you can't see God in someone else, you can see God in you. And when you do, those answers come, knowing what step to take. And then a boldness comes, and you're able to make a decision that may have been hard to make prior. And not because, you know, someone helped you make it, not because that person that you were just showing the love and the favor of Christ, not because they did the right thing. Maybe they didn't. Maybe they never did. But you did. And when you started speaking the word, God gives you clarity. When you say, God, you're everything to me. I mean, you are my all in all. You are like David did. You know, I meditate on your law day and night. You're a light unto my feet. Your word is a lamp unto my path. Then Christ is revealed in us, and God cannot get any closer than inside. And that's where he abides. And when that happens, we're able to make difficult decisions very easily. The challenges of life, the challenges of things that we're exposed to become so simplified because we're seeing it through the eyes of Christ. How difficult would it have been to figure out how to save a creation that you made for your purpose and pleasure that denied you, rebelled against you, cursed you, walked away from you, disregarded your word, even in the wilderness? God shows signs and wonders. The word says that he revealed his glory. God said himself, I revealed my glory. I showed you my signs. I showed you my wonders. And yet you rebelled. You rejected. You disobeyed me. So seeing what we want, they saw what they, what we, you know, in our generation, we'll go, man, what would it have been like to see the sea part? You know, to see a cloud hover over you and be to be shade, a covering over you during the heat of the day, and then a warming and yet wall of protection and fire behind you to cover you. What would it have been? But it's never what we see with our eyes that keeps us in our heart.
Yes, yes.
It's what we see in our heart. That keeps us beyond what we see with our eyes. And that's our faith and our honor towards God. God, even if I can't see you in the people around me, I'm going to love them with your love. Now, I may not never be able to be a part. Maybe I'm not supposed to be a part of their lives. Maybe I'm not supposed to be their best friend. But I can still love. When that opportunity shows up, I can still love. Someone pulls up at the service station and you took their pump and they're cursing you. You know, you can stand there and you can fight over the pump, or you can say, I'm going to take the high road. I'm going to go to the holy hill of the Lord. I'm going to surrender my heart and my anger to God, and I'm going to say, God bless you, sir. I'd love to give you this pump and drive away. Something as simple as that, where you're not contending for a position, but God is your honor. And that's what David did. He didn't fight against Saul to try to get his position. He didn't try to take his enemy out so he was safe. He let God be his God, and the Lord gave him his protection. The Lord gave him his safety, and God anointed him as king, and God empowered him in his office of anointing, gave him honor and friendship and kingship, and God will do the same thing with us. Because David simply represents, or profoundly and powerfully represents, someone that has surrendered to love God with all their heart, and then it just kind of, as the word says, that Jesus said, it just becomes a light. It just shines through you. It just flows out of you. You can see all that you wanted, like the exiles of Egypt saw, and it still didn't change them. It didn't change them. It took a heart like Caleb that just said, I just believe the word of the Lord. I believe the word of the prophet, what God said through Moses. I just believe the word of the Lord. And I know it doesn't look like we're able to do what God has promised, but we are more than able. He loved the word of God. And he found a strength in him that superseded what his eyes showed him. And it's the same thing in our day-to-day lives, Anton. And it's alive and it's real every single moment of every single day. If you honor God, honor his anointing, honor his creation, whether they ever bless you back or not, whether they ever receive you, they reject you. Jesus was rejected and he loved. He embraced. You know, there were people that he said, you know, he spoke to people and said, you've rejected my word. You rejected me. You've made yourself an outcast. You know, you made yourself serpents, and you made the devil your father because you rejected me. Mm. So he didn't have to hang around them. He didn't have to live with them, but he spoke to them. He loved them. So I'm not telling people to go into a bad situation and just try and make it right. I'm saying love right in a bad situation and let God move you where he wants you. Let God give you the understanding that he wants you to have. Let God be revealed in you so you can see the glory of the Lord. You can see God, just again like Job said, I've heard with my ears, but now I see with my eyes. And what he was talking about is, I've seen you in my heart.
Yeah.
I've seen you in my praise and in my surrender, and you're God with me. And God restored him.
Yeah.
And that's really where we come to peace in terms in turmoil and difficult seasons and difficult times, and then we can make the right decisions in place of the wrong ones.
Yeah.
And God is so God in everything we say and do. So again, we just blame God for everything.
It's such a profound revelation to have God inside of you.
Yeah.
With David, it was he knew that Saul was the anointed king, and then he was anointing king too.
Yeah.
So he knew how important it is for him to be anointed king, David. And when he saw Saul fall, it touched him too close to home, because there was another anointed, the first anointed that fell.
Yeah.
So it connected. Same thing as the body of Christ. We're all together. We're all one. And if a brother or a sister falls, you feel that as a body of Christ. You rejoice with one another, and you mourn with one another, because we all are body of Christ. And David had that connection, because he could connect himself and step out in front of a giant and says, we are the armies of God. He wasn't the army of God. He wasn't the army of God. He was a shepherd, but was he? He didn't have a title. He didn't have a credential. He didn't have an ID card. But inside, he was the army of God.
Yeah.
And he says, if you guys don't do it, I'll do it, because I'm the army of God. Without anyone telling me so. And so him being anointed, and then another anointed fell, it was too close to home. It was like him. Yeah. It was like feeling personal. He was anointed. I'm anointed. We're in this together.
Same anointing.
Same God. He fell. It touches me because another anointed fell.
Yeah.
Same thing with the body of Christ, having God inside of us and love for one another and recognizing that call, no matter of what someone does or doesn't do, being the body of Christ, that doesn't change anything. That even empowers you to pray for one another, to forgive one another, and to see God, because it's the same body with many members, and being powerful in seeing revelation of Christ in all of us. Yeah. And you said this on Sunday, how would we see Christ unless we see Christ in one another?
Yeah.
How would we recognize him unless we recognize him in one another? How do we recognize his face unless it's the face of our brothers and our sisters?
In his face.
Yeah.
See, we seek his face. We're told to seek his face. Yeah. And how do we see that? You know, how do we see his face? How did David see, though? How did Job see God and all of the, how did he see him? Oh, I said this the other day. If Christ is in us, Christ in us is the hope of glory, okay? So if Christ is in us, he wants out. Let him out.
Yeah.
Christ is inside. Let him out. Mm. Christ wants to appear. He wants to appear through you, through your prayers, your praise, your love, the reality that he's not just God, he's my God. See, that was the power of David. He's my God.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, the Spirit of the living God, abides in you. Let him out. Keep in your heart and keep in your mind, Christ is in me. I want to see God. Show us your glory. God, I'm going to let you out today. I'm going to let you out in confidence. I'm going to let you out in forgiveness. I'm going to let you out in love. I'm going to let you out in praise.
That's right,
I'm going to let you out in thanksgiving. I'm going to let you out in my obedience to do what I know you've told me to do. This is the day God has made, and I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. I'm going to honor the Lord and his anointing, because that's your anointing.
Yeah.
One Spirit, one anointing, one God, many members, which members we are. Anton, thank you so much for joining me today. What a great time.
It's always so good. Thank you.
It's
an honor to be here. Thank you.
Well, always great to have you.
Yes,
and,
thank you,
and talk about what we'll probably talk about
on the way home.
So thank you, Anton. God bless you.
God bless everyone.
Keep in mind, God is so close. He can't get any closer than inside, and that's where he is. Let him out. See the glory of God. God bless you. Until next time.